I tried really hard this week to concentrate on the John passage, but more and more I was drawn to the Acts passage that Kevin read earlier in our service. That story begins with this slave girl. Once again, we're not given a name for this woman, but she is a slave. And she has the gift of fortune telling, and she was owned by money men who owned people and used what they earned to live off. She would tell people what she saw as their future, and she made really good money doing it. She would in turn then give that money to her owners. And she depended upon them to take care of her. It seemed that the woman was following Paul around and yelling, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a new way of salvation." And it annoyed Paul. Now, it's not that what she was saying was wrong. It just annoyed Paul. So finally, he turns around and he orders what he believes to be a demon out of this woman. And when he does so, the woman was no longer able to see the future or to make the money that she needed for her owners. Well, the owners of the woman got very upset with Paul and Silas, and because he's taken away their livelihood, they grab him up along with Silas and drag them in front of the magistrate, who are in the middle of the marketplace, and their job is to maintain order. They are the judges, and they make sure that nothing upsets the balance of the marketplace. And the owners accuse Paul and Silas of disturbing the status quo in town. They're coming into our town and they're making it harder. They're trying to get people to believe something that isn't the way we do it. And so not only were the owners riled up, but the community began to get riled up. And so the magistrates, who were supposed to keep the peace, they have Paul and Silas stripped and dragged into jail. Now, one of the things our Bible study teacher, who has been teaching us on Wednesday night about the parables, one of the things that he said after every story was, look at the characters. What are they getting? So we have the slave. We have the owners. We have Paul and Silas. We have the judges. And we have the crowds of people. And all of these, except for Paul and Silas, all of these are worried about keeping everything just like it is. They don't want it to change. They like their world. They don't need any change. They don't need Paul and Silas's message. They don't want anything to make them uncomfortable. So they go about doing the one thing that just might put an end to trouble. They put Paul and Silas in jail. Isn't that the easiest thing to do with things that are different, or people that are different, or people that might cause us to think or do something differently? Let's lock it away and keep it silenced so that you can go about your life. Does that sound familiar in our world? The problem here is that Paul and Silas, they didn't take it like they were supposed to. Instead of being frightened, they sang songs. Instead of being quiet, they withdrew. And they prayed, and they sang, and they preached. It didn't shut them down. They didn't get quiet. They just kept preaching. And then at midnight, when it's pitch black, think about it. The only thing they have are lanterns, and they're probably all turned off. Everyone should be asleep, quiet, the easy part of the day for the jailers. And the walls begin to shake, and the very foundation of the jail crumbles, and Paul and Silas are free. Nothing binds them. Well, the jailer is in full-blown panic. He knows he's going to be in deep trouble. It's not his fault that the earth quakes and the jail crumbles, but he knows that it is going to be his fault if the prisoners get away. And so all he can think to do is to pull his sword and to fall on it. And just when he's about to do that, Paul and Silas, they scream out, "Don't hurt yourself. Don't worry. We're here. We haven't left. You're going to be okay." Can you imagine what the jailer must have felt? Can you imagine all of the why questions that are running through his mind? Why didn't you run? Why didn't you get out when you had a chance? What just happened? Why? 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 But no. When the jailer gets to Paul and Silas and gets them out, he says, "What do I have to do to be like you? What must I do to be saved?" He wants to know how Paul and Silas could sit in a filthy prison, chained to the floor, unable to live their life, and rather than be sad or afraid or angry, they're able to sing and pray and be happy. He wants to know how Paul and Silas, when they have a chance of freedom, they remain and do what they should do. He wanted to know how to be confident and free and powerful and unafraid. And they tell him. I feel like this is such an important story that we often overlook. The story to me is mostly about this one man whose life has been determined by the ways of the world. The people who think that the status quo needs to be maintained. The people who think that making money and keeping people contained and keeping control are what needs to happen. And he spends his day making sure that people are shackled and kept in the dark and dirty and dingy prison. But his life has changed. And he's free from the things that the world has taught him. And now he knows the freedom and love of Christ. The story ends with true hospitality. The man takes Paul and Silas home. He feeds them. He cleans their wounds. He spends time with them. And he and his family are all baptized. In the verses that follow, even the magistrates send word to Paul and Silas that they are free to go. Paul says, "No, you know, we were in public when you condemned us. So if you want us to go, you need to come and tell us yourself and set us free." And so the magistrates come and they apologize to Paul and Silas and they release them. I'll be the first to admit to you that I've been a bit saddened by our world as of late. Saddened by things that are happening, mass killings, like in Virginia Beach, things that are happening on our border. It seems that we have taken a giant step backwards in accepting people who are different than we are. We've become a society that is so materialistic and money-driven. And I admit that I'm right there in the middle of it all. We have allowed the world to determine our happiness. I watched as the news last night reported about the people in Virginia Beach gathering for a service. Those who were mourning the loss of the 11 people that were killed. And as they arrived to the place of the vigil, the family members of the shooter had written a big card and placed it on the wall. A card expressing their sadness and pain over the event. What courage that took. The family who are grieving themselves, who have lost a member of their family. The family who now, through no fault of their own, are carrying a good amount of shame at what a family member did. The family who must be in so much turmoil. But they take the time to express their love and concern for the other families suffering loss. I don't know how the families took that card, but to me it was a courageous and a powerful thing to do. I don't know if things were to change tomorrow, and we all know that life can change that fast. But if tomorrow I were to be jailed for my faith, shackled and stripped of everything that I know, would I be able to sing and pray and be content? Or would I be looking for ways to get out, for ways to be free? Another thing that John told us in our study of the parables was that parables are supposed to make you uncomfortable. And if they don't, then you don't understand what's going on. And in many ways, this is a parable. It may be a true story, but it's a story we need to learn from. And I have jokingly said over the years that my job is to make you feel uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, this story of Paul and Silas makes me uncomfortable in a way that I never have been before. And to be honest, I hope that it makes you uncomfortable also. We need to be uncomfortable with the ways of the world. We need to find ways to allow people's voices to be heard, not silenced. We need to find ways to sing in the midst of our sorrow, to pray instead of be silent, to stay strong and to stay put when we really want to run. We come to this table today because it is a place that reminds us of our calling. It is a place that reminds us of why we are on this earth. Because Christ loved us. And wants us to share that love with the world. With a world that often doesn't see love. Would our servers please come forward?